this evening and turn to the book of Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9, we'll look at a couple of verses beginning in verse number 20 down through verse number 25 in just a moment or two. Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through verse number 25. The Bible uses the rope to illustrate several different things. It's used, it refers to strength in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4 and verse 12. It's used as an emblem of servitude in 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse number 31. It's used to cast lots in the book of Micah chapter 2 and verse number 5. Thank the Lord, it's used to illustrate love in the book of Hosea chapter 11 and verse number 4. But on the flip side, it's used to serve as affliction in Job chapter number 36 and verse number 8, and temptation in Psalm 140 and verse number 5, and Proverbs 5 and verse number 22. But here in our passage, we'll look at it in just a moment or two, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 25, we see a rope plays a very significant role. The Bible says this in verse 25, "Then the disciples took him," speaking about the Apostle Paul, "by night, and let him down by the wall in a basket." Although a rope isn't explicitly mentioned here in this passage, the disciples used a rope or something similar, some cloth that they had tied a knot together to lower Paul down the wall. Paul was the great leader of the New Testament church. He had recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Damascus, he was filled with passion and God's great zeal, preaching the gospel of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But here we find in our text that the Jews were plotting to kill him. You see, they opposed his message. And the conflict escalated to the point where Paul was forced to escape for his life, and a group of fellow disciples lowered him to the ground in a basket. You might even say this, they held the rope. What a service. We read in this passage, we can quickly pass over this significant act of service where they held the rope. We might notice Paul being lowered down the wall, but the act of holding the rope is often overlooked. I want to tell the little family tonight, thank you for holding the rope these past several years. Let's stand for the reading of God's word as we found in Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through verse number 25. And then we'll pray. We ask God to challenge our hearts this evening on this thought of thanks for holding the rope. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse number 20, And straightaway he preached Christ in the synagogue. He didn't go to school. He didn't say, I'm going to take a little break after all I've been through. The Bible says, and straightaway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem and come thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their lying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Notice verse 25. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time in the Word of God this evening, Father. Thank you already, Father, for everything that's taken place today, for the things still yet to come. Father, I pray as we look at this passage of Scripture with our hearts thinking along this thought of thanks for holding the rope. Father, I pray you'll speak to the hearts of your people that are here today. And Father, I ask that you'll bless in a very unusual way. May our hearts come away being overjoyed in the service of the little family these last number of years. But Father, may you spurn us on to do a greater work for the cause and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Father, we pray you'll save that one that could be here this evening that does not know Christ as their Savior. And Father, when it's all done, we'll give you praise. We'll give you all the honor and we'll give you all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated this evening. As you look at this passage of Scripture, I began to realize this. We don't know very much about these men. We don't know their names. We don't even know how many they were. We don't know if these men were just randomly chosen of being up there on the wall, or if they were handpicked for this job of lowering Paul down the side of the city of Damascus. How were they chosen for this job? What else might they have done for God in that local New Testament assembly? There's some things that we don't know, but there's also some things that we do know. We understand this, that this job that they had of holding on the rope was a very important job, particularly if you're in the one in the basket that's being lowered down over the side of the city gates. We understand this, that they were in the right place at the right time to be used of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were willing to be used of the Lord. They completed their job, they completed their task, and then they moved on. And this description fits the little family tonight as they move on to a new city and a new ministry that God has for them, wherever God has for them to land. But as the littles move on to a new city and move on to new ministries, where does that leave us here at Sharon Baptist Church? I think there's three very quick lessons for us tonight, for us that are staying by the stuff here at Sharon Baptist Church. I think, first of all, I want you to understand this. Hold the rope. Hold the rope. There's an important person on the other end of that rope. These disciples really had no idea who that they were lowering down in the basket. They knew he was a preacher. Straight away, the Bible said he went and preached Jesus Christ. They knew that he had recently been converted to faith in Jesus Christ. There was no way, even in their wildest dreams, that they could imagine the impact that this man, the Apostle Paul, was going to have on the world and the Christian faith as you and I know it today. As the first missionary of the New Testament church, we find that he would shake the very foundations of the Roman Empire with his preaching and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He would write 1/3 of the New Testament. You never know who you're going to have in the basket that God is asking you to hold. And the idea is really this, that it's an incentive to be faithful to the work that God has called you. You know, we had a visitor here today, Paul Crutchfield, and his wife and his dear family as well. You know that because someone was faithful over the years to hold the rope. Paul came here as a young teenager receiving Christ, grew up in this church, got away from the Lord, but came back and then surrendered his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ and went off to Crown College of the Bible. And now he's candidating a church in Indiana where he desires to be the pastor of that church. You see, you never know who's on the other end of that rope and in that basket that you're holding on to. I think Paul was a great man of God, but he couldn't have lowered himself down over the wall. I mean, he could have maybe tied a rope on a portal or something on there and shimmied himself down, but knowing what I think about the description of the Apostle Paul, now Mark probably could have done that, but I don't believe the Apostle Paul could have done that. I mean, the Lord could do whatever he desired to do. But he was a great man, but he needed the assistance of others. Let me take this opportunity this evening to remind you that we have a responsibility to each and every person that's around us. Some people become just so consumed by their own needs that they never recognize their needs for others. Not these men. They went up to the top of the wall and they held the rope while the Apostle Paul was lowered down. And God had instilled in them both a desire and the ability to serve. Service isn't a depleting endeavor. Instead, service ought to revitalize us. And this week, as we go out for Hampton to Heaven, you shouldn't be depleted by that. Sure, you might be a little sore, you might be a little extra tired, but it ought to revitalize us, understanding this, that we are doing God's work, and our service for others ought to be seen as a privilege that we can serve God and people here in this world. Well, I think, secondly, we ought to hold the rope. And apparently, menial tasks have eternal value. What a menial task that is, lowering a man through a window or off the side of the city gates or city walls and a basket that he sat in at the end of the rope. That word menial means this. It refers to work that requires little skill or work that requires little training. It's usually not very interesting and confers low social status on somebody that's doing it. Today we would say something like this, perhaps a ditch digger. I don't even know if there's ditch diggers around today, but that would be something that I would refer to as a menial task, a ditch digger. You know, our church has jobs that to many people may seem menial. Some of the little jobs that they have done over the last couple of years may be considered menial in the eyes of man. But listen, that is not God's opinion of their work. The Lord honors effort that may seem menial, that may seem insignificant. Those that clean and those that work on the grounds and those that take out the trash and those that wash the windows and those that just do the little things that make this church function as it ought to. And our church, a word of encouragement and a word of appreciation from one another can go a long way in doing those menial tasks. Especially for those who very erroneously see their jobs as a lesser work for God. Well, we see thirdly, and then we'll be done. Hold the rope. There is a cost. You see, as Paul's being lowered down from the Damascus walls, those Jewish leaders are plotting to kill him. The Bible says that they wait at the gate. They weren't waiting to shake his hand and give him a scrunchie, as you might have done for William a couple weeks ago when he preached. They're waiting outside plotting to kill him. As he came out the gate, they were going to grab him and pull him around the corner and do away with him. Because of Paul, the disciples could have possibly faced persecution or even death for this job and helping Paul escape the religious leaders of the day. And we need to understand that holding the rope. You need to understand that the rope that you hold, that God has called you to hold and minister to and with, understand that sometimes it comes at a great cost. Serving Jesus Christ is a very joyful experience. I don't regret 1 minute of my service for him. I don't regret 1 minute of my salvation. But understand this, I understand that everything in this life, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual, comes at a cost. And following Jesus Christ and serving him could come at a cost to you personally. I thank God we live in a great nation where we're not persecuted blatantly as in some other nations of ours. But understand this, serving Christ will come at a cost. Martin Luther said this, a religion that does nothing, that saves nothing, that gives nothing, that costs nothing, that suffers nothing, is worth nothing. So as we close tonight and move into our singspiration, understand this, that a rope is made up of a cord and fiber collected together, woven together to make one unit, one that is bound to be stronger in itself than the outside of itself. And each strand works with the other strands. It bears its weight and yields its purpose for what it was created for, to support, to strengthen, and to sustain. You see, strength emerges, and a power only seen through the framework of unity is revealed. And when we unite, when you and I come together and bind ourselves to one vision, we too can become unstoppable. To the littles this evening, I say thank you for holding the rope. To the part of the church that's still standing firm and still staying here by the stuff, I want to encourage you to do this. Please keep holding the rope. There's an important person on the other end. There's menial tasks of eternal value, and we'll receive rewards in heaven for those things. It's going to cost you something, but in the end, it's going to be worth it all. If you haven't yet grabbed onto the rope, I wonder tonight if you'll grab onto the rope and hold tight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, please.